the presence of the Lord in our lives is real. And if it's not real for you, you probably need to be saved. Pure and simple. We have a relationship with a holy God because of the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. And it's just transformed our lives. We know Him, and He knows us. And we walk with Him, and we talk with Him, and He helps us and aids us. And what a blessing it is to know the Lord, to sense His Spirit, and to feel His truth. What a blessing it is to have fellowship with a holy God. None of that would ever be possible apart from the blood of Jesus. It took the shed blood of Jesus Christ to fix us, to cancel our sin debt, and to make us righteous. I mean, we actually receive the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. And we're thankful, aren't we? We're thankful. We don't feel worthy, but it's by His grace we're saved. We're saved by grace. We're saved wholly by grace. By grace, through faith, that not of ourselves. It was a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We were saved by grace. And if you've never felt the power of God's grace in your soul and in your life, you need to seek Him with all of your heart. You need to call upon His name. You need to pray. You're going to have to pray. If you ever get saved, you're going to have to pray. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to pray. You have to call on the Lord. You have to seek Him out. You have to call from a contrite spirit. The Bible says, He saveth such of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Psalms 34. And He will save those that are broken and contrite over their sins. It's sin that separates us from God. It's sin that alienates us from God. The Bible says in the third chapter of Romans, and also in the Old Testament, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all like sheep. We have gone astray. We've all offended God, and we all need to be saved. Everybody who is born into this world needs to be reborn. You have to be born from above. Born once, you die twice. Born twice, you only die once, amen, unless you get caught up, unless you the Lord comes back and we're changed in the moment, the twinkle of an eye, and the saved won't taste death. We'll just be instantly changed into our glorified body and we'll ascend to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. What a blessing it is to know that we're saved. And so if you're here today and you've never been born again, this altar is always open for you. Actually, every pew's an altar as far as we're concerned. You can spin around and just start calling on the Lord right there at your seat. That's okay with us. We believe that people need to pray. We believe that people need to repent of their sins. See, that's a very critical, important message of the church today. Paul was in throughout Asia Minor, and he was preaching the gospel. He had been converted. He had once persecuted the church, and he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and got saved and called to be a minister to the Gentiles, an apostle to the Gentiles. He was preaching and going from house to house. The Bible says in the 20th chapter of Acts that he went from house to house preaching and teaching to both Jew and Greek, left nothing back that was unprofitable, telling them that they need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's still the message of the church today. Amen. He has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Bible said, Jesus said when he was preaching in the 13th chapter of Luke, people say, well, those folks over there, they're bad sinners. You know, that Tower of Siloam that fell on those Gentiles, those were bad sinners. They deserve that consequence. And we look out among the world and we say, you know, all these bad people, yes, they deserve the judgment of God. But Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. Amen. Every man needs to repent. Repentance is turning from sin. Now, let me say this. Here's the thing about seeking the Lord, and that's why we put so much stress on seeking the Lord. You can't repent on your own. There needs to be an awareness, and I believe the gospel does this. I believe the Holy Spirit does this. Makes us conscious of our sins. Makes us aware of our sinfulness before a holy God. And he draws us to himself. And you sense that in your heart and in your life. There's an awareness that you become aware of. There's an awareness of sin that you didn't have once in the past. You realize that you've not only transgressed, but you've transgressed God's holy law. And the consequences are eternally fatal. Now, I don't know how you felt about it, but when I was convicted of my sins, and I believe you need to be convicted. Amen? Amen. That's that consciousness, that awareness, conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit takes the gospel, and when Jesus is lifted up on the cross before a lost world, we realize that he hung there on the cross because of our sins. And there's a sorrow that sets up in our heart when Jesus lifted up, and we realize that it is our sins that hung him on the cross. And the Bible says godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation. And you need that godly sorrow that works repentance unto salvation. People need to repent of their sins. Now you can go to other churches, and you will, and there are people that spend their entire life at church and they're never told that they need to repent. It's amazing. I've met people, and it's getting more and more common where you meet people and they claim to be Christians, claim to be church members, claim to grow up in church. They've already been baptized, and they've never been told that they need to be saved. People, that's a shame. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to save you from your sins. Paul said when he was writing to the young minister Timothy that this is a true and acceptable saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came. He came. Why did he come? He came to save sinners. Came to save sinners. And so he died on the cross for you. And being aware of the sins that separates you from God, being aware of the sins that hung Jesus on the cross, will cause a godly sorrow to set up in your heart, a heaviness, a burden. Do you know about that burden? The burden of sin. You know, people today, they say that we're missionary Baptists. They teach you've got to feel conviction and feel conversion. Yes, we do. We believe you need to feel the conviction of sin. And you will feel the conversion of sin when the blood of Jesus is applied to your soul. Amen. This was the great saying of the Great Awakening. All these people, religious folks, were saying these people, that these new lighters, they were aware. They had a new life in them. They had a consciousness, a spiritual life in them. And the saying was that they could feel conviction and they felt conversion when they got saved. And they could assert a time and a place where they were born from above. We still preach that today, don't we? The message has not changed. When you are moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, when you move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, it's something that you know about. You know about it deep inside of your soul. So yes, people can assert a time and a place when it happened because there's a transformation that occurs in your life. There's a change that occurs in your life. The Bible calls this change becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passing away, and behold, all things become new. When you're lost and on your way to hell, and you're a child of the devil, when you are born from above, you know it. When eternal life is shining in your soul, you know it. When the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, as we read in Romans chapter 5 and about verse 8, you know it. Amen. If you have a salvation that comes from above, you have a no-so salvation. Amen. And people that have a salvation they can't tell about or they don't know about, I don't consider it the salvation of Scripture nor the salvation that Jesus Christ came to bring. When you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes into your heart and life. The Spirit of God comes into your heart and life. Now, let's just reason about this just for a few moments. Are you telling me when we read the Bible, and the Bible says that the Holy Ghost comes into a man's soul, and that happens and you don't know anything about it? That'd be absurd. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes in, that Jesus comes in and takes up his abode in your soul by the Holy Ghost. Now, I know when that happened to me. You remember that happened to you? I mean, things were different. I mean, even my way of life, how I perceived things, how I saw things. I saw sin differently after I got saved. There was a new awareness in me. Actually, there was a new desire in me to serve the Lord. A lot of people don't understand why us Christians, we want to go to church and we want to pray and we want to read the Bible and study history and look into these wonderful mystical things that God has provided for us. We search for these things and keep hearing the gospel over and over and over again. And I'll tell you something, folks, the old story is still a good story today. I mean, how are we moved by all of this? Why do we do this? I'll tell you why. Because the blood of Jesus was applied to our account. And when He saved us, He put a new desire in our hearts, a new love in our hearts, and we love the things of God. And we sing sometimes, oh, how I love Jesus. Well, listen, He first loved us. We didn't love Him first. He loved us, and we are conscious of that. We're aware of that. We have a new way of life because there's a new life in us. Listen, folks, there are some of you that are here this morning, and you have never been saved by the grace of God. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. If you can't assert a time and a place where you were born from above, like Jesus said in John chapter 3, that every person must be born from above. If you can't assert a time and a place or remember a time and a place where something happened to you, where a new life came into you that wasn't there before, as Jesus explained in John chapter 3 and verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone. Say everyone. Everyone. Everybody has this experience, this spiritual experience that Jesus equated to the wind blowing upon the heart and upon the soul, that when they get a new life in them, when they are born from above, there's a spiritual experience that occurs deep inside of your soul where you pass from death unto life. And everyone has to have that. And if you do not have that, you have never been saved. The blood of Jesus has not been applied to your account. You've not repented yet. You've not believed yet. You've not put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ yet. You've not surrendered to the blood of Jesus yet. You've not surrendered in service unto Him yet. You've not turned to the Lord yet. You've not sought the Lord with all of your heart yet and found Him dear to your soul. You need to. Let me say this. There is nothing any more important than you being saved. This is the mission of the church. We take a gospel that has power in it. Jesus told us to take this gospel to the four corners of the world, to every creature. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a power that you have access to that you didn't have access to before. Amen. The power to live the Christian life. The influence to serve God. The influence that helps you love God and enjoy the things of God. The power to worship God and to praise God. That spiritual influence, that spiritual power. People, is the result and the power that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. He lives. His life that He lives. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's alive. And He ever lives. And He's coming for His people that have been redeemed by His grace. He's coming for the ransom. He's coming for those that He's ransomed by His blood. He's coming for His people. And if you're not a child of God, but rather a child of the devil, today is the day of salvation for you. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. You can be saved today. Listen, Jesus Christ died for you. He died for your sins. He is an atoning sacrifice. In other words, He is a substitutionary atoning sacrifice. He hung on the cross of Calvary for you. For your sins, to cancel your sin debt. He was making a way that you could be saved and have eternal life, to put you on a new journey and put you in the way that leads to life. How did He lead? To give you that consciousness and the awareness that there's a heaven that you're going to. I know today that I'm going to heaven. To be absent from this body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. There's an awareness, an eternal life that comes into us, that we know that we're saved. You can know you're saved. Know that the blood has been applied to your house. I believe you can know you're going to heaven. Do you know you're going to heaven today? Are you sure? Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John that He prepared a place for us. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, where I'm going, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas was a little confused, and he's like, what about this way? And where are you going, Lord? And he said, how are we going to know where you're going, Lord? And how are we going to know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. Are you in the right way? Listen, if your salvation isn't solely in the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ, if your salvation isn't wholly in the merits of what Jesus did, if you're trusting in works, if you're trusting in living a good life, or some kind of religious service or ritual, that's not good enough. It has to be wholly of grace. It has to be on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your eternal life has to be solely based on the merits of the cross. The cross alone. It's not of any works that we have done, is it? Is it of any work? Are we saved by works? In Titus chapter 3, Paul said, it's not of any works of righteousness that we have done that He saved us. Not of any works. It's not of works of men. But He saved us by the washing of He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Man, if you've not experienced what the Bible says you've got to experience to go to heaven, you need to seek Him with all of your heart that you might find Him today. Children, listen to me. You need to find the Lord. You know what I like about this? I was going to mention some things about the providence of God. And I believe in the providence of God. I'm thankful for the providence of God. I believe I'm providentially an American. I believe it's been by His providence that I was raised up under the truth. I believe it's by His providence that I am here in this church today. Let me say this to you, church. Nothing happens in the Lord's church that's not supposed to happen. You do believe in the providence of God, don't you? Okay. I'm thankful for the providence of God that has put me here this morning to tell you the good news that Jesus saves. And you don't have to keep going on in life, lost and in your sins, But he died on the cross for you. He resurrected on the third day for you. His Holy Spirit is visiting you right now, and he is pricking your heart and making you aware that you are lost and undone and you need to be saved. You sense that. It's a spiritual thing that you sense that deep in the core of your soul. And if you'll make your way to Jesus, he will save you today. You sense that? That's the providence of God. Listen, folks. I know this. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know I'm not the smartest one. I understand that. Oh, the only advantage I've ever had in my ministry has been the presence of God. I'll tell you this, I wouldn't dare do anything to jeopardize that. Because it's the most important part of my ministry. I have to have that. And I believe it exists when I preach. I have confidence that the Lord is present and His gospel is being accompanied by the power of God and by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is visiting you today. Oh, I understand. You're a little scared now. It's starting to irritate you a little bit now. It's starting to bother you a little bit now. You're a little worried. Well, you got a little worried when Sister Carol started shouting. I got you a little bit upset then, you know, a little bit, wow, you know, that's a little bit on the edge, you know, getting a little close to the edge here. Listen, you need to go beyond the edge. You're going to have to surrender it all to the Lord. You're going to have to take the jump, the leap, and trust in Jesus with all of your heart. You guys believe that Jesus will save to the uttermost? To those that believe? Do you guys know the power of faith? Do you believe faith is what it takes to move mountains? When you read the New Testament, do you believe it was faith that healed those folks? Do you believe it was faith that caused those who had committed some of the most hideous sins to leave forgiven? Jesus said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee. Yeah, he said, "Thy faith has provided forgiveness for you." If you need the washing that comes from above to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, you're going to have to put faith in Jesus Christ. Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You're going to have to put faith in Jesus. Jesus said, "Believe in me and you'll never die." Jesus said, "If you'll believe in me, I'm the resurrection and the life." God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're going to have to put faith in Jesus Christ. You're going to have to step out of the aisle. You're going to have to call upon the Lord. You have to turn from your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ if you ever have a chance to go to heaven. If you'll move toward God, He'll move toward you. You know, the Bible says that He's going to come with great vengeance upon those who obey not the gospel. See, you've just got to surrender. You have to turn from your sins. You have to put faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll say this, none of that is a work. When it's all said and done and you get saved, you'll realize that even those were graces of God. I mean, from beginning to end, it's by His grace. And you'll experience, when you experience that in your life, when you get saved, you understand. Now these folks that, you know, try, they repent and they, you know, they repent of themselves like Judas Iscariot did. I mean, they're doing their own repenting and their own believing. That won't get you to heaven. That won't get you eternal life. You're going to have to come God's way. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. You got to come and surrender yourself to the Lord. You got to believe on Jesus with all of your heart. And then, when you come to the end of yourself, and you humble yourself before the Lord, He lifts you up. Do you remember the day it happened to you? Tell you what, I got to the cross. And when I came with a burden on me, a burden of sin and condemnation, I mean, I was on my way to hell. I sensed the condemnation of sin upon my life. That's what I was talking about, conviction. I mean, I was convicted that I was conscious of the fact that I was on my way to hell unless Jesus came and had lifted me up. He did. I came to the cross. I mean, I surrendered to the cross. I put all of my faith in Jesus. And you know what happened to me that night, May 15th, 1972? The condemnation and the burden of sin, it just lifted off of me. And I knew that was it. I knew that my condemnation and my sin was lifted off of me, and it was placed on Jesus when He died on Calvary's cross. He bore my sins, was my substitute, paid the sin debt for me, and I was set free. Get a song, Aaron. We're going to close this service with an altar prayer and an invitation for you to come and pray. We'll pray around you. We'll even pray with you. But we can't pray the prayer for you. You got to pray that prayer for yourself. Amen? You got to call on the Lord yourself. Nothing any more personal than finding Jesus. Other than dying, that's a personal thing. I mean, it's the closest thing that you'll go through that's that personal. Dying. Ah, man, when you die to sin and you're made alive to God, what a great thing that is. The greatest thing that'll ever happen to you in life. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse 24. He said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Will you hear the words of Jesus today? Better yet, will you hearken to the words of Jesus today and make your way to the cross? You might say, "Well, what do you ask me to do, preacher? Go to that altar?" No, I'm telling you to go to Jesus. And the altar is a convenient place to find the Lord, and you need to seek Him till you find Him. I believe you need to stay praying and turning and believing until you get an indication from God that you are saved by His grace. And you know when it happens, you'll be the first one to know it. Amen? So let's stand. Let the congregation stand. Are you here today, lost and undone? Listen, it's been a while since I prayed with some of you, and you need to be saved. Oh, would you try Jesus today? Would you call upon His name while we have time and opportunity? Is there somebody here that needs to pray? Listen, children, if you're lost, you need to call upon the Lord today. Men and women, boys and girls, listen to me. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't turn Him away, but call upon Him. Listen, I guarantee you this. If you make a move toward Christ, you'll believe every word I have said this morning when He gets done with you. Amen? You'll know it for yourself to be true. Isn't that what happened to you guys? You know what I said was true this morning. Because you experienced it in your own heart and in your own life. And if you're here today and you've never experienced it in your own heart and life, you need to experience it today. Now I realize that people, you know, they criticize me and they've criticized this church. They say we're too intense about the gospel. How can you be too intense about the gospel? Oh, you make people uncomfortable when they come here because you tell them they need Jesus. You need to be uncomfortable if you don't have Jesus. It ought to bother you that you're not saved. And if it doesn't bother you, I'm like these old preachers long ago that used to say, if you're not mourning over your sins and you're lost, you need to mourn because you don't mourn. It ought to upset you that you're not convicted. It ought to bother you that you're not in trouble over your own sinfulness and your lostness. You should be upset about that. It should bother you that the gospel doesn't bother you. Come to the cross. There's where salvation is found. Let us sing.